Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1623, air date December 12th, 2025.
Shiva, Dre, as well as we're joined by quite a good group of people who come to our open house. So you notice we do these open houses every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. Anyone is invited to come here. All of those of you who attended, you may please invite your friends, family, everyone. The education that we cover here is part of our larger movement for truth, freedom, health. And I typically do a talk that hopefully you can understand the principles of system science that we at the core of our movement, but we also want to give people some practical knowledge. So as we just shared in the slide that we'll throw up, today we're going to talk about Mamdani and Trump. And as the picture in the slide shows, if we can bring it up again, people tend to think Mamdani is doing something radical, or he's a revolutionary, something fighting Trump. And people on the Trump team thought Trump is fighting for the working class, and he's doing something for the broad mass of the American workers. So they both present themselves as opposition, populist opposition. But recently what took place was, if we can go back to video, is Trump and Mamdani, after Mamdani got elected, they had a meeting, and I'm gonna play that video for you. I think I can bring it up here. So this is this. I think I have to, before I share, I think I have to do one important thing, which is make sure the audio is shared, right? Okay, so let's go here. So if you didn't see this, this is just a small extract of it, was on CBS. So let me just play this right here. This was Zohran Mamdani and Trump meeting at the White House. So let me just go to it right here.
Trump praised New York City Mayor-elect Zohran Mamdani during their first meeting in the Oval Office.
We talked about some things in very strong common, like housing and getting housing built and food and prices.
The two men on opposite ends of the political spectrum agreeing on issues impacting Americans and New Yorkers.
I am really looking forward to delivering for New Yorkers in partnership with the president on the affordability agenda.
Before their meeting, Trump and Mamdani engaged in a contentious back and forth, trading insults ahead of New York City's mayoral election.
And now it looks like we're going to have a communist mayor in New York. That'll be a lot of fun.
And Mamdani previously called President Trump a fascist. But on Friday in the Oval Office, the president appeared to brush aside the label when Mamdani was asked about it.
Are you affirming that you think President Trump is a fascist?
I've spoken about...
That's okay. You can just say yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's easier. It's easier than explaining it. I don't mind.
President Trump previously threatened to pull federal funding from New York City if Mamdani won. But after a landslide victory earlier this month, the mayor-elect requested a meeting with the president, hoping to find common ground. Trump, a former New Yorker himself, says he wants the city to be successful.
I expect to be helping him, not hurting him. A big help, because I want New York City to be great.
Now, the two leaders disagree on a wide range
and healthcare.
Okay, so let me just stop this here.
Said he'd feel comfortable.
So I wanted you guys to see that, and it's presented to the public as though these guys are sincere and they want to come together, et cetera, right? So let me give you this analysis that really comes from our understanding of bottoms-up movements and systems. And it's very, very easy to get lost when you see a phenomenon like this. Oh, everything's okay. You know, they're going to work together. We're going to have, or in this case, New York is going to have a better economic condition, right? That's what people typically think. But let me just sort of unwind this by, first of all, the reason, I'll give you the punchline, the reason this meeting took place, and this is a very common phenomenon that the swarm, that the elites do, when they know that they're sitting on a pile of serious problems, they will come together to present a united front to the masses that they have everything in control, that you don't need to build a bottoms-up movement. We're going to take care of it. Let me repeat that again. They will show this because they are united up until when they come together in a theater like this. They have to have this dialectic as though they're on opposite sides. But when they see signals that the masses are actually figuring stuff out, that they are starting to think about how real change comes from, and our movement has focused on that, they have to distract people to say, no, you don't need to build a bottoms-up movement. We're going to take care of it. So here's a harsh economic reality, whether it's New York or in the United States. The real wages of American workers have been stagnant. In fact, the wages of the first and second income quartile have been significantly going down since 1970. And if you add it all up, it's around $47 trillion. That has been moved upwards while costs are surging. Now, 67% of Americans, it's quite nearly 70% of Americans, live paycheck to paycheck. Okay, which means I think of that group, at most, they may have $400 in savings for a rainy day. So this is not, of, you know, 70%, or this is not, when you think about it for the broad mass of people, a strong economy. And now when you look at housing, healthcare, and debt, these three things really dominate the household budgets. The reality is, on the flip side, productivity has explosively gone up, which means working people are actually delivering value. But the reality is those working people are not getting the value that they have delivered. And by the way, when we mean workers, we're actually talking about people go to work, they put in 8 hours of work, or they're in their gig economy. We're not talking about people who are living off the dole. Obviously, people are retired. They've actually contributed to the economy. So the typical worker pay up to 17%, right? So the productivity, just to give you an idea, since 1970 has been up 60%. So that's pretty massive. That means working people are actually working hard, they're contributing, productivity is up. However, the typical worker's pay, typically in the third and fourth income quartile, is up by 17%. So the wealth flows upward and not back to labor. And this is the reality. Housing has become everywhere, whatever city you're in the United States or state, you'll hear about affordability for housing. So housing has really become a vehicle for extraction. Over 75% of homes are unaffordable to median wage earners. And the rent consumes, it's a pretty big number, 30 to 50% of people's income. So whatever income people are making, a third of that at minimum, or 50%, is going to rent. And what's even more interesting is when houses are sold and bought, you have private equity firms actually buying these homes. So people are selling their homes. Companies are buying the homes. They'll fix them up and they'll rent them, right? So that's one of the models that's going on. So it's becoming hard for people to actually own a home. Healthcare has actually become a financial risk. Getting health insurance, you actually can destroy your entire livelihood. The employer family plan premiums are exceeding $24,000 a year, $2,000 a month. Very high deductibles, which means even if you have an issue that comes up and you have insurance, you still have to pay out of pocket because you have very high deductibles when you're insured. And then medical debt, this is a big number, affects 40% of US adults. So 40% of US adults are burdened by medical debt, which means healthcare bills. So when you put this together, there's really two economies that exist. stock market is explosively growing and profits are at a record high. And then you have the fact that workers face instability and debt. And there's also potential of 25 million jobs disappearing with AI on the horizon. So here's the irony. The economy is strong, but just not for the people who are producing value. So the economy is strong, but not for workers. And that's what we need to sink in. The economy is strong, but not for workers. We're actually contributing to the productivity. So this is a reality. And when you look at a place like New York, it's even exacerbated there. And by the way, Mamdani is not some quote unquote working class guy. A lot of people don't know his mother, you can type it in, Meera Nair, is a Hollywood elite director. She was nominated for 2 Academy Awards. She produced him, she directed him. No different than someone who directed Trump. Okay? Trump is also a theater actor who was made by Hollywood. The Apprentice, you know, went into everyone's homes, right? So you have these two characters who were created by the swarm, presenting themselves as though they're on two sides of the coin, but they're actually the same people. And it's hard to think about this because you see these guys doing this theater, and that's what it is. So this is why the swarm politics become theater. Their meetings and alliances signal control, not solutions. So Trump and a Mamdani meeting is the fact that they're realizing, shit, we have serious problems. We've been screwing over people, and they're going to figure this out. So we have to show that, you know, we have everything in control. So it creates an illusion. So when people see that video I just played, most people say, oh, Mamdani, if you were believing his rhetoric, you know, who's going to fight for us? He's for the cab driver. He's quote unquote anti-Zionist. You know, he's going to handle it for us. He is meeting with Trump, and he's there right with him, with the president of the United States. And Trump looks like he's handling it for his MAGA followers. Oh my God, is New York going to become a communist state? Oh, Trump is there working with the guy. You know, we have that in control. And what this does is it diffuses the urgency for building a bottoms-up movement. That's why they had the White House meeting. Okay? Because the economic conditions for working people who are producing the value for the elites is in a very dire situation, living paycheck to paycheck. 40% of your money goes to healthcare, right? 30 to 50% is going to housing. It's not in a good situation. And they have to present themselves as though they're going to solve it. That's why Trump is on this affordability tour, if you saw, right? So this is why Trump can't solve this. We'll talk about why Mamdani can't solve this. Because what Trump is actually doing, he's offering nostalgia. Make America great again. It's nostalgia. Like, we'll go back to the good old days, right, of the 40s or 50s. But he's not offering any type of structural change. And his policies actually favor capital, which means Wall Street, stock market, the balance sheet of large conglomerates over labor, okay? There's no redesign of housing, healthcare, or debt systems. There's no fundamental systems change. What he does offer is nostalgia. It's theater, okay? Similarly, Mamdani, very similar, he can't solve this either. So his nonsensical view is top down, he's gonna capture these state structures, you know, the office of mayor, and he's gonna redistribute without any type of fundamental redesign. So the workers in this model are going to become dependent on the state, not empowered. And that's called state capitalism. And this is what China is. It's not really a workers' movement. So the Democratic Socialists of America they use the prestige of the word socialist and democratic, but they're really a top-down crony capitalist, state capitalist model. So they get into power, and then their goal is, we're going to fix stuff top-down. But they fundamentally don't change anything. In fact, what they do is make workers dependent. And when we talked last week, when I went through the revolution in Russia, this was the phenomenon that was going on there. The so-called Marxists, socialists, were saying, we can work with the czar and we can fix everything top down. So this is why Mamdani and Trump are the same. They're just talking rhetoric. This one is talking rhetoric to one wing of the working class to keep them contained, and the other's talking rhetoric to another wing of the working class. But both of them are making people addicted still to the top-down state model, all right? So it's a false opposition, left versus right. The rhetoric really hides their limits, their shared limits, and both are really operating inside a political elite machinery. So think about that, both, and this is the big takeaway, both are still operating within the swarm. They're not building a bottoms-up movement, and neither challenges the economic operating system. None of them is going down and saying, look, the system is really screwed up. They'll talk words about it, but they're actually still not addressing that. And the real function of this theater, as I mentioned, and I'll repeat again, is to absorb anger. So if you think about when Mamdani was running, people were angry against Israel. People are angry against the economic conditions, right? Affordability of housing. And then you have them coming together. So the goal is like a shock absorber. The goal is to absorb all that anger. So people say, again, another 4 years will go by. Oh, we don't need to organize independently. And that's really the goal. So they keep power centralized at the top. The mayor of New York or the president of the United States. Okay. But what is never addressed in neither of these individuals, or they will not even address it, is that the debt-based survival economy, the financialized housing, the employer-controlled healthcare, and labor without ownership or control. That's what true socialism would be. Labor has ownership and has control of the means of production. That would be bottoms up. So Mamdani, that's why he was backed by billionaires and Zionists, in fact, is because he offers the ability for people to think something's going to happen, but nothing is going to happen. And then you have the ultimate, him and Trump actually coming together. So the bottom line is this. In their view, the elites, you know, politics manages the collapse, doesn't fix it. And the real change only will come from independent organizing, like what we're doing here tonight. What our movement is the only force that's doing that. There's no one else doing this. You know, we have a leadership, independent, all working people. Everyone in our movement either is a retired worker or work for a living. Particularly in our leadership, we make sure that we tell people to go get a job, young people. You can't be part of a movement if you have not been part of the workforce. And we appeal at very different levels to different people's commitment levels. So we have an organizational structure and it's independent. And if Suresh, if you could bring up the recent image that we did, I don't know if you have it. So the best representation of this is that, you know, my running for US Senate when we ran for president is always about building an independent movement. And what our movement is doing is offering people a practical, scholarly experience to understand history and system science, but a practical experience too. We get people on the ground, handing out flyers, handing out cards. My run for Senate in Massachusetts in 2026 is going to offer people, probably for in a very profound way, to participate, actually be part of a bottoms-up movement, right? So the typical model of running for office Remember, that's how Trump and Mamdani get in. They're all supported top down. Okay? They go to the same, they go to different wings of the donor class. They go to different parties, very posh parties. And they build these top down elections. What we are doing in our movement and manifesting it in the 2026 run for US Senate is every one of you is going to be made accountable. You have to participate. You have to get off your butt, make phone calls, talk to your friends in Massachusetts, and tell them to pledge their vote. So if we bring up the Shivafer Senate site, there's a thing called pledge your vote. So people can participate in that. I'm not going to do all the work, guys. And I mentioned this because if I were to do all the work, then it takes away your accountability. So people can, right now, everyone here can become a volunteer, call your friends in Massachusetts and tell them to click on that button. I will vote for Dr. Shiva. And when they do, it brings up a form where they can pledge their vote now. And what's really cool about this is when you fill this out, if you're in Massachusetts or you get someone in Massachusetts to do it, they get a link and they can pass that link to other family members, people in Massachusetts to get them to be part of this. And our goal here is to flip the switch mentally in people to say, yeah, Dr. Shiva did this and he did this and he did this. Great, I like him. Well, that's not enough anymore. You as a conscious citizen must participate and get and help mobilize other people bottoms up. Even if you get 5, 6, 10 people, that's a bottoms up movement. The graphic that we recently did makes this, if we can zoom in on that, if you can just click on and bring up the image. And we worked on this because art is a movement of its time, okay? You know, earlier in 2017, we had a great graphic, only the real Indian can defeat the fake Indian. You know, it was me with a symbol of Elizabeth Warren. I don't know if we can find that, but what was great about that image, people loved it. People used to buy our magnet signs and we put thousands of signs up. And it was basically putting me as someone who came bottoms up, built everything I have with sincerity, compared to Elizabeth Warren, who told people that she was a Native American Indian. That's how she got her jobs. That's how she got her $5 million a year job at Harvard. That's how she used it to become a US senator. And this meme, you know, by the way, the left and the right have taken over this. If you remember, this was a symbol of communists. This is also now a symbol of Trump. Okay, Steve Bannon had him do it. So the fist has been essentially absorbed by the left and the right. And if we zoom in here a little more, the top says the middle works. That means, just as I shared, you know, productivity has gone up by 60%, but wages have only gone up by 17%. The middle is all of us who work. We work. They don't work. And what you see as you scroll down to the bottom is the image, from an artistic standpoint, represents people rising from below and coming up, okay, working people to create the middle finger, okay? And if you scroll up, and what you see is this action is fears, puts the fear of God into both left and right, who have survived by acting like they're fighting for us. So if you notice, the donkey and Bernie Sanders and Mamdani and AOC are scared because they have historically been attacking the right, saying, oh, they're oligarchs. Oh, they're Wall Street guys. They're nepotism babies, all of which is true, right? So one wing of the working class will follow Bernie or Mamdani or AOC, you know, the Democrat wing. The right wing on the other side, with the elephant represented by Trump here, and Booby Kennedy and Fucker Carlson, similarly attacks the left. They say, oh, Bernie doesn't work, which is also true. You know, they want to put policies which encourage people not to work, which is also true. So you see, they each lob half-truths at the other side, and the right will split another wing of the working class. But they surely fear us figuring this shit out, rising up and recognizing that the middle, those of us who work, should have some self-respect for ourselves and not get caught into this nonsense. So our campaign for Senate, as we scroll down in this diagram, is going to really, we don't give a fuck about these people, by the way, on the left or the right. But what we do want people to do is boldly raise up their middle finger and say, I'm done with being an abuse victim, following one wing or the other. And you see, I think this is really going to be, our movement is really focused with the U.S. Senate race, is really going to challenge people to reflect on themselves, working people. Hey, you work your butt off. You know, 70% of you, you're living paycheck to paycheck. 40% of your healthcare, of your you know, household income is going to healthcare. 30 to 50% to housing. Why are you go up to the top, whoever's scroll up? Why are you even involved in any of these freaking guys? What is your mental dysfunction that here's a great candidate, Dr. Shiva. He came bottoms up. He's proven himself. Why are you even vacillating? What is your fucking problem? And that reflection is what our 2026 campaign is going to do. We're not going to tell people beg for their votes. We're going to tell them, what is your problem that you're not doing it? Why are you getting caught into any of these fools? And see, I think it's going to be a great, fun campaign because we're going to ask the people who are going to, who like us, we're going to push them to the next level. Why aren't you getting other people? What is stopping you? Why do you get caught in this dialectic? And what you'll find is people have been brainwashed to be abuse victims. They're getting abused by Bernie one day. They're getting abused by Trump another day. And they have to ask themselves, why do they do this? And I think that messaging, those conversations, and giving a symbol like this is going to really make people put the mirror to themselves. It's not about Trump or Bernie or any of these guys. It's about the working people who are being screwed and want to continue to be abuse victims. So I'm very happy with this meme we came up with. And by the way, this is the front of the card, the back of the card has how people can pledge. And people can get this on our website, shivaforsenate.com. But most importantly for everyone here, thanks, we can go to video. I want to encourage everyone to get involved. And your involvement should be to get other people involved and have these conversations. Why are you supporting these guys? They exist to make sure that you don't develop independently on your own. That's why they exist. So what the message we're getting out there is a very profound message. And it takes a lot of effort to take such a deep message and make it accessible. That's why the middle fingers are great. Very accessible, okay? And we've done that, I think, in a very nice format. So it's a very powerful weapon, tool, that everyone here can educate people on. And fundamentally, nothing is going to change unless we have these bottoms-up, small, local conversations. So everyone here can get involved in this. You can go to the Shiva for Senate site, volunteer, but understand you're doing this to really experience what is a bottoms-up movement. And when I win this election next November, we want to give people this experience. It wasn't Dr. Shiva who did it. I did it. You see, I actually participated in my small way, either calling people or going to my neighbors and getting them to pledge votes now. So it's really a laboratory we've created for people. My winning the election will be obviously a great occasion, but the goal here is everyone participating, this is gonna have an opportunity to see what a bottoms-up movement can do, okay? But the reality is when you go back to Trump and Mamdani, they know, the swarm knows that the economic conditions are really bad for working people. So they have to create these two characters on the left and the right and give the appearance, because they know how bad the conditions are under the hood, that they're coming together. They're going to solve it. And when you really think about it, these people are one. They were groomed by the swarm. They were funded by the swarm. And they are promoted by the swarm as saviors of each wing of the working class. And when they're not, okay? So anyway, I wanted to review this, but the big takeaway is they are doing political theater. It's very well orchestrated. And again, what's the goal of that? The goal of that is to make sure you don't independently organize. You don't get involved in the movement for truth, freedom, health. You don't understand the dynamics. And you just live there in quiet desperation or hoping for another generation, these two fools are going to do something. It's very, very clever. But guess what? Our movement exists. It's not, I'm just talking to a wall. We're getting the message out there. People are starting to figure this stuff out. There were two recent podcasts I did that were broadcasted, one with Clayton Morris, who used to be formerly Fucker Carlson's host, who runs his own independent channel. He gave us an opportunity to speak to his audience about everything that happened in the 2020 lawsuit, how Elon Musk, Tucker Carlson are actually fakes. And actually, Clayton actually liked that meme too. Then we did another one with David Knight, who used to be with Alex Jones, and he figured out Alex Jones was full of shit. And David did a very nice podcast on the Middle Works. And this morning I did a podcast with the son of Jesse Jackson Jr., who runs a Black Caucus, and he's rethinking what's going on with the Democratic Party. So we're going to reach out to anyone who wants to listen to our message anywhere, anytime, any place. And so anyone out there who knows different groups who are open and want to interview us, let them know. But we're in a very, very powerful position because of the immense amount of work we've done, the dedicated people we have, and the fact that we have an organization. We're not grifters, just saying shit and even stealing slogans, and then they leave. We actually are serious about shattering the swarm. So we have an organization with depth, with people like people are being trained how to run our orientations here. They get on the ground. So it's amazing what we've created. So I hope you guys be part of this and recognize what we just went with Trump and Mamdani is offers you a real, real understanding. And if you didn't, if our group didn't exist, that understanding would not come out to light in any way. So we're always at the tip of the spear, giving real knowledge and real analysis of what's going on. So get involved. We have many, many ways you can get involved. We'll take questions. And the way we do questions, we have our producer on social media who'll put it into chat. And anyone here can put the message into the chat. I'll read it out. Who asks a question? If I have any clarification, then I'll call on you. But it makes it a lot more manageable when we do that. So any questions on this lesson that we just went over, how the elites, the theater of presenting themselves as left or right, part of that theater is a quote unquote unify to present a united front that they have things under control. Any questions on that?
You can please write your questions in the chat and submit them to either myself or one of the hosts or directly to Dr. Shiva. You know, we do all have a saying here that your questions reflect your consciousness. Please keep your questions to the topic, somewhat related to the topic. We don't like wasting time. We don't like wasting anybody's time here, especially Dr. Shiva, who gives us time for this prestigious lecture. Again, giving you a systems analysis on what is actually going on. So please submit those questions in the chat. Thank you.
As you're thinking about them, the other thing is our movement actually has solutions. We're not out there just quote unquote exposing truth. We do a lot of that. But for every truth that we expose, we offer a solution. We just exposed Trump and Mamdani as one. Well, the solution is a bottoms-up movement. Go to truthfreedomhealth.com. If we expose a healthcare system, we have a solution, systems health. If we expose a scientific malfeasance and corruption, we have Cytosolve and the Open Science Institute. Truth, freedom, health. We have solutions. And to those of you who want to educate others, as this electoral process comes up, you should tell your friends, why are you voting for that fucking idiot? Why don't you go look at, you see, all these politicians, when they run, will say, I'm going to go fix this. I'm going to go fix this when I get elected. I'm going to solve this problem. I'm going to do this. The simple question is, go tell your friends or yourself, just look at the resume of this politician before he started running for office. Surely he must have solved some problem before. Surely he must have experience in innovating and creating something. Surely he must have some thing he's done where he made other people's lives better through his involvement, public or private. If they don't have that, if they haven't done that, how do you expect an idiot who's never, ever, you know, solved a problem overnight to come into office and solve a problem? I mean, I've been solving problems my entire life. All of you who work for a living have been solving problems. This is why working people must be the force that governs ourselves, not these fucking people who've never solved anything. Trump, what the fuck has he solved? Massive bankruptcies. Booby Kennedy, what has he ever solved in his life? You know? Just think about it. It's such a simple thing. So this is why we have to hammer on working people. Why are you even considering these fools when you should have self-respect for yourself? You do more in a day than any of these people are going to do in a lifetime for you. And our goal is to create a strata of people who can articulate this with force and authority and educate their communities. Don't be a dope and give away your power to these fools who can't solve anything. So let's look at what we got. We have Suresh here, who says, someone on YouTube, Mosius117209 says, do you believe with political landscape being so polarized between all groups, independent may finally be the best option in order to help alleviate the pressure of the swarm on citizens? Great, great question. This is why Mamdani and Trump had to get together. Beautiful question. You see, they know that the middle, working people, are realizing that neither wing is ever going to do jack shit for them. And that is out there in the milieu, primarily because a lot of the work we've done. And they do not want working people gravitating to a bottoms-up organization like we've developed. So they have to come together on top. So I think timing is perfect. In fact, the last 10 years of work we've done, as we've seen the fruits right here in Massachusetts, nearly 60% of people now are registered independents. Young people, 96% under the age of 26 are registered independents now. 60% of people under the age of 60. So people are recognizing either wing is not going to solve it. And a lot of people, even though they're registered to vote, don't vote because they notice that Tweedledee and Tweedledum is not going to get them anywhere. So it really is going to be dependent, not on me. I'll keep doing these podcasts and videos, but really about you guys, each of you becoming educators of these concepts that we're sharing. You need to talk to your neighbors. You need to go to them and say, why are you even considering a Republican or a Democrat? Why don't you consider people from below? Why are you brainwashed to do that? So I think, so the answer is people are polarized, but they're realizing the polarization is actually dividing them. And that's why that middle finger exposes that. Great question. I think Noel had a question. Once you become a senator and lead TFH to take over the means of production, who will defend us against the swarm's military response? Okay. So there's a lot of processes that are not being fully understood. That's what this question reveals. Look, don't take it personally who asked this question. When you build a movement and you're educating and galvanizing people, we're not talking about a terrorist takeover. See, the subtext of this question is that a bottoms-up movement is some violent revolution. That's not what it is. When you have a true bottoms-up movement that permeates the consciousness of working people, well, guess what? The military works. People in the police work. And when you look at the history, and that's why we covered what occurred in Russia, the military personnel were also workers, and police forces, these actually come and they lay down their arms and they come to the side of working people. That's what's going to happen if when you build a true bottoms up movement. It's not like we are fighting the military. No, people in the military are working people like you and I. They don't want to shoot at their own brethrens. Okay. And that's why when we talked about what occurred in Russia, it was actually a bloodless revolution, because the military, the army, the navy, everyone came to the side of the working people because of the organizational structures and the education that they did for about 20 years. All right. So the swarm wants to convince people that somehow they have all the power in their hands. It's not true. It's not true when you look at history. You even saw these skirmishes recently in Nepal where the military and the police said, screw this, we hate the government, we're going to go to the side of the people. That's what actually happens in a true bottoms-up movement. So mind you that don't be brainwashed by the propaganda of the swarm of what a true bottoms-up movement is. Another question here. Joanne Feaster says, the workforce wants ownership and control so that the wealth flows to labor. Could this be accomplished somewhat through stock ownership in the company? So that would be an implementation, but ultimately what needs to happen, Joanne, is that working people themselves need to be educated to run the means of production. Okay? So let's say you had Amazon workers. A guy's working on the line or doing something. Ultimately, in a true movement, that person would have the ability to learn actually run and manage certain aspects of an Amazon operation. Workers would be incentivized to grow in different directions. So it's a true revolution in that sense, that working people start managing the affairs of state. It's not like you have politicians who do it as a career. In a true workers controlled structure, the state actually starts disappearing, because the management of the affairs of state is done by everyone. One day, I'll give you another example. Even if you look at local police force, whenever you have a local police force or standing army, this was never intended to be when you originally look at the structures that people envision. Right when a government creates police force and standing armies, that's when there is no freedom for the working people. So in a condition where you have true freedom, the workers, you, me, and others, would probably a few days out of the year, first of all, everyone would be armed. Right, so no one can screw everyone. Everyone is trained in arms. You have true Second Amendment, and people would participate in the policing, but it would be a communal affair. So the day that you have the police and the army being separated from people, that's when you have subjugation. So in a organization like a company, same structures. It's not like there's managers. Yeah, there will be a transition phase, but even those managers will devolve training and experience to other people. And it would be a part of one's job responsibility to rotate through. You see, so these operational engines will operate in a very, very different way where people have become accountable for their own leadership. And this has occurred, as I mentioned last week, a couple of times in human history. And the times when working people actually do this in a consistent way, there's actually more wealth created. There's a very interesting company we may want to do a whole thing on called Amul, A-M-U-L, in India. Very interesting company. It's a bottoms-up cooperative. It sort of gives you a glimpse of how this could work, of dairy farmers. So if you go to India and wherever you are, you'll see this little, you know, butter things in hotels. It's by AMUL, Amul. And what these people did was, you know, you, if you go to, a, you know, 80% of India is still villages. In a village, you'll have a dairy farmer. He may have one cow. He may have 10 cows. And the way India is structured is you have villages, which then group into what are called panchayats, which then group into something called taluks, which go into districts in the state. It's a very, very ancient model. So these dairy farmers didn't want to be screwed, you know, selling their milk at too low of a price. So they organized all over India by themselves, and they built cooperatives. In fact, in villages, and they became quite innovative. I mean, India's hot. So some of these dairy farmers actually created their own thermoses out of glass. So even if you had, if one dairy farmer had one cow, he would bring his milk to one house. They'd aggregate it and send it up. But most importantly, they all knew what the price per gallon of milk was, and none of them got screwed because they wouldn't allow exploitation to take place. So they were actually getting their fruits of their labor. But this was a bottoms-up organization. So that would be a glimpse of sort of cooperatives and people coming together where they own and run their, you know, in this case, it was a decentralized means of production. So these structures do happen, have happened. In fact, if anything, they're much more natural structures and don't require all this overhead. So the cost actually comes down to people. More profit for the people who produce and less cost for the consumer. That's why the elites don't want this, because everything they do is inflated cost. Healthcare, everything. Let's go to... yeah, so when... So Noel says Paris Commune was slaughtered by the armies of the elites, as you told us. But I think what you missed in this, Noel, was the analogy I gave is when you create something. So when the Paris Commune took place, what was extraordinary was for 79 days, the Parisian workers, 300,000 armed workers, took over Paris, and they did immense changes. And they weren't ready for the brutality of the army because they hadn't gone among the army and organized them. So in one case, they did some really good things, but they didn't structurally organize. When the revolution in Russia took place, they looked at the Paris Commune and they did do that. So if you actually are willing to study these, which is what we teach people, people can actually look at movements and understand. So I think, I'm not sure if you're trying to scare people by these kinds of questions, people are gonna be slaughtered. These are very powerful words. And so you need to really consider what is your intention when you bring something like that up, is to scare people away from building movements. I hope it isn't. But some people do fear-mongering, and it's not something that's productive, because when you look at history, just like the airplane went from a little Wright Brothers airplane to what we have today, we can actually, as people, understand this and get better and better and better. All right. So anyway, it's 10:11. I know you guys have a couple other things to do, but the key takeaway is those in power do not want you being independent and do not want you building a bottoms-up movement. Okay? And the best way to be ready is education. Noel said, my intention is to be ready. Good. Well, the way you get ready is we educate, educate, educate. We participate. the U.S. Senate election 2026 gives everyone an opportunity to participate and help mobilize people and educate other people why they need to be part of a bottoms-up movement. All right, everyone, thank you. Oh, there's one other question here. Joanne Feaster says, will you use a middle finger in graphic and flyers distributed to MA residents? Yes. Yeah, it's going to be on a flyer. It's actually up on the website. I think it's going up tomorrow. It's actually the front and back of a card. So the back of the card has my picture and it has a QR code so people can scan that and pledge to vote. And the front of it has a middle finger. And by the way, this concept that we've come up with, it's a little innovation. We could use this in any part of the world, right? You just change the characters on the left and the right. Okay, everyone, thank you. And as homework assignments for everyone, you know, go volunteer and you'll be onboarded to help us get pledges here in Massachusetts. If you go to the events page, Noel, maybe you can review that on vashiva.com, the events page, or Suresh or Andrew, you'll see all the different events that we have going on every week to educate you on science, you know, on health, on food. We do a lot of very practical things to educate the public, and they're all accessible to anyone who wants to have access to them. So we've created a nice funnel based on where people want to participate. All right. Thank you, everyone. Be well.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva.
Yep. Thanks, Noel.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is a not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is a not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you. The Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing, Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement, and that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game, and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done, and it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up, his own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.